Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Morning and welcome to a Friday edition of the program. It's Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Today's program, we're going to kick it off here in a minute with Terry Norvell from College Sports Today, kind of recapping what happened at the SEC Media Days, talk about a few other things going on in the sports world. Second portion of the show today, we finish off our flashbacks to Gator quarterbacks. We'll have ESPN and ABC college football analyst Jesse Palmer to close it out. Want to get your thoughts on what you thought came out of SEC Media Days, your thoughts on OU Texas. It's pretty much a done deal. I don't know when it's going to happen, but supposedly from what you're hearing out there that OU and Texas will be a part of the SEC in the near future. When, we don't know. I think that's terrible for the ACC. I think the Big Ten still has a lot going on with them, but the ACC is going to get hurt by this tremendously, in my opinion. Also want to know if you guys are following the Olympics. I know they've been playing softball, but that's about it. I don't know. I'm just not into the Olympics for whatever reason. I don't know if it's the time difference or just, you know, a lot of the athletes aren't able to make it because of COVID or what, but I was just getting a text on the Titan of our text line. We'll read those in just a second. Our thoughts or prayers go out to Coach Bobby Bowden. What a tremendous career he's had. He's had such an impact on so many people's lives. We're going to have a couple of Florida State players on next week on the program. So make sure you tune in for that. Also, I'm not sure if y'all saw or not, but the size of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl championship rings. I mean, those jokers are about this big around. I don't know why anybody – well, nobody wears them really, but it might be the biggest ring I've ever seen. But in the meantime, I think we are now joined by Terry Norvell, the host for College Sports Today. Oh, no, we aren't. So we are working on that. Dan says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Meldon Law, very excited that Texas and OU could be part of the SEC living in Dallas. I'm sure you are, Dan. I mean, those are two major brands. It's interesting how college athletics is changing right before our eyes with the, you know, name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, and now this. Gosh, I don't know how anybody will be able to compete with the SEC if OU and Texas join. I think if that does happen, they're going to have to do away with the East and the West. But we're going to go to the Titan of our hotline, and we're joined by College Sports Today host Terry Norvell. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Hey, Shane. Sorry, I wanted to pull off the road, safety first. So ready to rock, man. What a week, I think, precursor to the future of college sports. What a week.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts, Terry. I'm sure you follow the SEC Media Days quite a bit. What kind of jumped out at you the most? Not OU Texas talk, but what jumped out to you the most watching the SEC Media Days?
Well, maybe not a surprise, but obviously NIL, all the coverage that got. OU Texas, obviously, you said skip by that. The other thing that really jumped out, Nick Saban did it again. I mean, he was very calculated. That didn't just slip out that Bryce Young has a bunch of money already in his pocket and he hasn't started a game. That was a calculated Nick Saban move. Brilliant. Why not use all that media there? Why not give that advertisement to all the future recruits that they hear and they see? Dude hasn't even started a game, and he supposedly has a huge payday already. Just another simple, brilliant move by Nick Saban.
Yeah, he like you said, everything is calculated. I think it's just totally ridiculous. I don't care where you play. what school it is to have some type of deal like that, and you never started a football game. I think it's, you know, Terry, he could get benched in the first quarter against Miami.
Yeah, you know? Sure. It's the most ridiculous thing
I've ever heard.
It's like business. You hear the term futures. You're playing futures. Well, yeah, that's kind of what they're doing in that situation. They're betting on that they can get him. Whoever the company is or companies are, they're betting get him now. Take a chance, play the futures a little bit, and a guy could get hurt. See, this is all going to work its way out. We need a couple of years. It's still going to come down to ROI, if you ask me, return on investment. Right now, I think it's flashy and fun, but smart business people, it'll wear off if they're just throwing money and not getting ROI. So we're going to need a year or two. I don't think the landscape of the NIL is going to look like it will 2 years from now. I don't know if it's going to be better, worse, more, less, but we're in the guinea pig stage right now. But yeah, it's unique. It's very unique that an athlete at that age and that lack of a resume on his side gets that kind of money. But they're playing the futures, Shane. They're playing the futures.
I guess. I mean, I don't think he has a chance. I should say that. He's not going to be an NFL quarterback. He's only 5'10". Yeah. Maybe he will. Yeah. Not that even matters. But, I mean, Alabama's got some good guys sitting behind him. And I'm telling you right now, he could easily be sitting on the bench in the second half against Miami if he doesn't play well. And I just don't know why anybody would throw money at him. Now, if you talk about Spencer Rattler or Sam Howell, guys that Matt Corral, some guys that have produced, I can understand that. But like Lane Kiffin says, my quarterback's worth about $2 or $3 million then, because he's the best quarterback in the league. It just it blows my mind why anybody would do that. I don't care if he becomes a 2-time Heisman Trophy winner and you got him at the beginning. That is just you are rolling the dice, and it just makes absolutely no sense to me, because I've said it many times. There's not a player in the state of Florida on a college football team that if I had a restaurant or a business that I would – do anything with, because there's no star power.
I think whoever the businesses are, I think they wanted to get a jump. I think they're just saying, hey, they want to get a jump. He can only represent so many candy bars or whatever it is, you know, soda pops. It's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. I've said, Shane, if you've worked with me for several years, anybody's listened or watched any of my programming, I've been saying the Big Bang is coming, and I think this is all tied. I think the NIL, the Big Bang being one more big realignment, and then we're not going to have one for 25 years. I think all this is tied together. It's the NIL has sped all this up. The 12-team playoff has sped all this up, but it's here. That Big Bang is here, and I don't want to take your interview different areas, but it's here right now. And when I say the Big Bang, look at it this way. You better ask your prom date quick. There's only going to be one more prom, and then there's not going to be a prom for a while. You better get your date secure, and your date is a conference. If you're in a conference, Oklahoma, Texas, and you think there's greener pastures, you better secure your prom date now, because there's only so many spots, and there's only going to be one more big prom. I'm telling you, Shane, this thing, and if you're one of the group of five big city universities, you better be doing some backroom debating and negotiating right now. If you're a Cincinnati, you're a big enough city, you better start talking right now. I think Notre Dame is out there as well. I think the Big Ten's going to pull something. They're too big, strong, and powerful and smart. Keep an eye on the Big Ten. I love it, by the way. I love going to the super conferences. We're getting to what I've been preaching needs to happen. We're going to get to the Big 65 or 70. And I'm sorry, East Carolina and Southern Miss, you're going by the wayside. But I think that aspect of all this stuff speeding up is a great thing. We're getting to those super conferences, which we need.
Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with the eye-catching vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. This July, mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with Terry Norvell, host of College Sports Today here on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, we'll be joined by Jesse Palmer in the second portion of the program. Hey, so Terry, you mentioned the Super Conference, however you want to phrase it. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Texas and OU will be a part of the SEC here.
Absolutely.
Soon.
Absolutely.
I don't know when. The ACC is the conference that's going to hurt, in my opinion. That's why I think UCF, Cincinnati, those type schools need to join the ACC. You talked about the Southern Misses of the world. Like, I look at it a little bit different. I don't know if because I coached, I played, I've dealt with high school kids. I know what it means to the Southern Misses and the Troys to come into the Swamp or to go into Bryant-Denny Stadium. That was their dream. I still want to see those games. They need the payday. But I have no problem with setting up, you know, the powerful 65 teams playing for this championship. Yeah. And then the rest over, the leftovers, the other 65 or however many, have their own little championship. I think that's the way it needs to go. I do still think they need to play one another because, like I said, those schools need paydays. But you think that's what's going to happen here pretty soon, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to pull aside. And I hear what you're saying about Southern Miss coming into Bryant-Denny. I think just mathematically by the numbers, it's going to be real hard because, Shane, I'm not so sure the 12-team playoff is coming soon. That'll be here before we know it. They're going to try. They got – and Dabo Swinney was quoted today, I read. He's all for the 12-team playoff, but he thinks the regular season needs to be one less game. You got to lose a game somewhere. You're going to squeeze everything in. You're going to have to start playing that last Saturday in August will become the kickoff weekend. It has to mathematically. And what's going to happen? They're talking about the 12-team playoff generating $1 billion. Okay. $1 billion. What'll happen? I think, They'll whack one game. They'll go from 12 to 11, and you say, wait a minute, money, money, money. Well, to compensate by losing a game, you take $1 million, you give it to all 70 members. There's a bunch of millions inside a billion. Every year they can say, hey, we've got to make the regular season one less game to start squeezing in an extended playoff. Here's $1 million, all 70 schools. That's only 70 million of a billion. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to I think those games, Shane, will be hard to schedule. Where you just can't squeeze them in. I just don't think you can squeeze in Southern Miss.
Yeah, and so basically you're saying those programs are just going to fold. They will not be in existence because they cannot survive if they don't get those paydays from the big programs.
Well, they can't survive at the P&L level. Well, certainly, you know, their budget's just not going to be as big. I mean, it's just the way it is. You may bust to some games instead of fly to some games. I mean, it's just the way it is. I don't think they'll go away.
I think if they don't get those payday games, I don't think they can survive. I really don't. And I hope that doesn't happen because think of you, Terry. You played college baseball at JU.
Yep.
What if
yep.
they did away with the JUs of the world being allowed to play the Florida's? I know it's a different. It's really. I mean, I don't know if they.
I hear you.
You're not allowed to play in the postseason tournament. You have to go play in a different one. But then you don't get money. And like I said, I don't know if they get money when they travel to Gainesville and play the big boys. But I feel bad for the smaller schools. I just don't see how they'll make it.
Oh, I hear you. I played at JU and the highlights games for me were playing Florida and Florida State and Georgia Tech. Yeah, I get it. I just think, you know, it's a big, bad dog eat dog world out there, Shane. And I think the big dogs right now are aligning and I think the Southern Misses of the world are going to have to, you know, move down, maybe even get out of D1. What you're saying too is to be D1, you have to have a minimum number of sports. They may have to go down and say, hey, we can't. I think the minimum is 16 to be D1.
Here's how they solve that problem. All those billions that the big boys will be making, they can just throw some of the little boys a little bit of money and it ain't going to hurt them.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a whole other discussion, and I'm not for this, but the financial drain – absolute, no president can say this publicly, the financial drain has been going on for 40 years. It kills college sports. It's Title IX. Title IX has financially crushed, but you can't do anything. It's mandated. And I agree with the premise of Title IX. Of course, who doesn't agree with, but the way you've got to spend money on non-revenue producing, I mean, that is tough. There's where your money's going, is the Title IX equality.
Yeah, I agree with that. I got a text here on the Titan MR text line, Terry. It comes from Derek. It says, good morning, guys. Let me throw a scenario out. LSU lets Coach O go, and they hire Jimbo Fisher. The AD at LSU hired Jimbo at A&M
sure.
when he was there. You think that's a possibility down the road?
No, probably not. Probably not. I mean, I like Jimbo. I think he's one of the better coaches. I just think this may be his last stop, Texas A&M. No, I don't think they would want to. I think they would want a younger, hot guy. Not that Jimbo's not hot, but I think Jimbo's not the hot guy anymore. He was. No, I don't see that. I get the connection. Woodward, I think is his name, Scott. No, just my off the cuff, no.
If you got Dwayne Payne,
By the way, let me bring one quick thing up, and we'll talk about it on my show a little bit later. I hope the rumor that Texas A&M's got their panties in a wad and they don't – if I'm Texas A&M, that's the last approach I would – send out there for everybody to see. If I'm Texas A&M, you look like the little brother. We don't want Texas coming in. We're going to try and sue. You can't sue anybody and tell them what conference they can go in. That makes A&M look like what they want to get out of. If I'm Texas A&M, I'm doing all the publicity I can right now saying, hey, Texas and Oklahoma, come play with the big boys. Come, this is where the tall cotton's at, big boy. Come see how you can fare. We've been in the big boy conference. We've done it. Come see how you like it. That would be my approach. Not. I hope Texas A&M is not behind the scenes whining and sniveling and crying. They've been trying to get out of Texas's shadow, and they did it for 10 years. I would say, hey, man, come see if you can hit this fastball called the SEC.
Yeah. We got a Facebook Live brought to you by Melvin Law, the only official law firm part of the Florida Gators. Dan says Jimbo's making too much cash at A&M to leave. I correct me if I'm wrong. I think Dan Mullen's making more money now than Jimbo. Is that correct?
Maybe it has come out on a yearly, but I don't think Dan's got anything that said 75 total million over however many years.
But I think right now, I think Dan Mullen's making more money this year than Jimbo.
Now, Jimbo goes out, and I think they're going to have a tremendous season, by the way. Jimbo goes out and
I'm picking them to win the West.
Whoa. What are you doing? Don't jump on my pick.
Well, I'm not jumping on your pick. I just – the more I've thought about it, I think they have the best player in the league in Anaya Smith. They have probably the best running back in the league. They got the best tight end in the league. And they have eight starters coming back from the top defense in the league. And I think the quarterbacks, whoever they play, is going to be way better than Kellen Mond. And I think Jimbo's one of the best play callers in the league. So I'm picking A&M to win the West.
The West, yeah. I've got Oklahoma and A&M playing in the national title game. I'm with you. But getting back, if Jimbo has the year I think they're going to have, that contract will be renegotiated. Don't you worry. If Jimbo goes out and wins that West – He'll be making more money than anybody probably, not named Nick Saban, and maybe near Nick Saban. They're thirsty. I'm with you. I love A&M. I think they've got two great lines of scrimmage. And, man, we say this. A lot of people say this about Georgia. If not now, when? Boy, if not now, when for Texas A&M?
Yep. If you got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule a free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Give QC Kinetics a call, 352-400-4550. About a couple more minutes here with Terry Norvell from College Sports Today. Terry, I want to get your thoughts. You've been in the media for a long time, and obviously we saw the news come out about Coach Bobby Bowden. Gosh, what a tremendous football coach, human being. I know you covered him. Did you ever have any one-on-ones with him?
Three or four times. I had some pre-set up one-on-ones. I was he was at the Ocala Quarterback Club one time. I absolutely have always adored Coach Bowden. I know some people, you know, the rivalry, and some people, is he as genuine as he says, and he can't be that good. I think he truly is that good of a person. I never thought he was putting on airs and might not have remembered your name always, but he slapped you on the back, and just a Southern gentleman. I knew his health wasn't great. I didn't know it was, that grave, but I hope his last however much longer he's on this earth, he doesn't suffer. I've always, Shane, just thought he was a genuine guy. I don't know. You may have gotten to know him from a recruiting standpoint way back when, but I've always been a huge Bobby Bowden guy.
Yeah, he did recruit me, and he recruited several guys from my high school. But man, what a it's a sad time. I mean, it's hard to feel how old you're getting. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
It's tough. Terry, have you watched any of the Olympics?
Shane, I'm not anti. I haven't paid attention to the Olympics in 30 years. The Olympics died, and by the way, I worry that college sports may be going the way of the Olympic. I hope not. The Olympics. Two things have killed the Olympics: when big money got involved 3 decades ago, and when they totally. And this is what I worry about with college athletics: when they totally eliminated amateurism, the essence of the Olympics are gone. It's nothing more. They shouldn't even call it the Olympics. It should just be called the World Sports Games. The United States is as guilty as anybody. We've got coaches that are, it's just a mess what they've done. I won't watch a bit of it and have no interest in it, and haven't in 30 years, probably.
Yeah, I just watched a couple of innings of softball. We got three Gator girls playing in it, and they're playing on a damn baseball field. It looks so silly.
I heard,
you've seen it.
I heard about it.
I don't even know when it's weird because they've already started, but I don't think they've had the opening ceremonies yet. I don't know.
Opening ceremonies are tonight, okay. Whenever it falls. Yeah. And that always happens. As I understand it, there's always been two or three tournament type events that they have to cover so long they have to start playing them. But, you know, real quick, getting back, and the United States is not the only guilty one, but like, For about 25 years, Bella and Marta Caroli ran the United States Gymnastics Federation. Bella Caroli, born and raised in Romania, he was Nadia Comăneci's coach and was lifting her up in 76. The United States hired – they ran the Gymnastics Federation for 25 years in the United States. I mean, to me and real quick, people don't know this. The name Becky Hammond, she's a NBA assistant coach that's up for head coaching jobs. And a basketball player by the name of J.R. Holder. Those two, as American as you can get, Becky Hammond and J.R. Holder in the 08 games, that was your men's and women's starting point guard for the Soviet Union Olympic team. They played in the Olympics. Oh, wow. And it was legal. There's some kind of crazy rule. If you played 2 years of professional sports in another country, you can represent, but just some examples. The Olympics were created country versus country. My athletes, how do they stack up with your country's athletes? That's all been wiped out. The Olympics lost its appeal, I think, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but that's a great point. Terry, let everybody know how they can check your show out.
Hey, we do it Monday and Friday, College Sports Today, Coach Spurrier, Shane Matthews, myself, Facebook Live, just follow College Sports Today, YouTube, and the show is also on all the 15 leading podcast platforms, College Sports Today. Look it up and follow us, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Good stuff, Terry. Be safe, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy. See ya.
That's Terry Norvell from College Sports Today. Join us on the Tight and More Hotline at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp is now hiring team members with all levels of experience, great culture and benefits, and opportunity for growth. $1,000 signing bonus. Give Comfort Temp a call. It's 376-2366. This day in sports, back in 1925, New York Yankee Lou Gehrig hits his first of 23 grand slams. That's brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Going to take a first time out of the program. Come back. We'll be joined by ESPN, ABC, college football analyst, and former Gator quarterback Jesse Palmer. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility.
Meldon Law, won't back down.
Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free.
South State Bank,
Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we're doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Looking for all type of restaurant people, managers, servers, bartenders, hosts, cooks, dishwashers, bussers. If you think you're good in the restaurant business, then give us a call.
Spurrier's Gridiron Grill job fair is open now. All you have to do is go to spurriersdraft.com and fill out an application.
We're looking for the good team members, and we're looking for people with a wonderful attitude that can make Spurrier's Gridiron Grill the best we can possibly be. To apply, go to spurriersdraft.com.
We go straight to the Titan MRI hotline, and we're joined by good old Jesse Palmer. Jesse, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Dan, good morning, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, when I have all the former players on, I've been doing this since about January, so I can get some pointers from you since you're a big-time broadcaster. But I like to go back to their days of when they were growing up. You know, you grew up in Canada. We thought at one time you were the only Canadian to play here at the University of Florida, but we were told there may be one other guy. But did you play other sports other than football up in Canada?
Yeah, it's funny. I played basically every sport growing up. Ironically, didn't play hockey. So I might have been like one of five Canadians in the entire country that didn't skate great until I got older. But through school growing up, I played soccer, I played basketball, I played baseball, volleyball, track, tennis. I literally played everything, and my dad had played in the CFL, and so that was really sort of, you know, like seeing his photos and trying on his jerseys at home, that was really sort of the impetus for me falling in love with the game of football. But I was definitely, I felt like a fish out of water for a while growing up there because of my lack of ability on the ice and the fact that people just didn't care as much about football as they do certainly down here in the States and certainly in the South.
Right, so playing football in Canada. Now, were your high school games 12-man games like the CFL, or what kind of format did y'all have?
So another funny thing, I actually didn't even play high school football because the quality of football where I grew up at high school, it wasn't very good. So I played, it was this sort of the city league, and they had different age restrictions. My last couple of years in high school, I ended up playing on a traveling team where we had kids on the team that were essentially, you know, in their early 20s. And it was sort of like a hybrid rules. It was essentially Canadian rules. So it was 12 men. It was a 110-yard field. It was a wider field, bigger end zones, all those things, except we had four downs. That was the major modification. So Shane, as a former quarterback, I mean, you could appreciate the Canadian rules lend themselves to passing the football and scoring the points. But if you add an extra down, it makes it just so much harder for defenses to stop you because you got receivers in unlimited motion and guys are running towards the line of scrimmage on the snap. And you know, it was funny in the league that I played in, there weren't a lot of teams that were throwing the ball. Everyone was still kind of old school running the football. So we threw it around a lot. And I remember getting recruited by Steve Spurrier, and he had said that, you know, he thought that a lot of the route concepts that we used in high school, or the city team that I was playing on, actually mimicked a lot of what he was doing in the Gator playbook. So there might be some crossover and carryover. And I think some ways he was right.
Yeah, I want to get to Coach Spurrier recruiting you in a minute, but you said your dad played for the Ottawa Rough Riders. Did you grow up wanting to play in the CFL for the Rough Riders?
Yeah, I love the Riders, man. J.C. Watts was the quarterback for the Ottawa Rough Riders. So he was like, that was my guy growing up. And my dad played with Conridge Hallway, who was a great Tennessee Vol quarterback. He played with him in Toronto. John Huffnagel played with him in Calgary. So Tom Clements, who was a great Notre Dame quarterback, played with my dad as well in Ottawa. So there's kind of these legendary figures, these great college players who had these great careers in the CFL. Those are sort of guys that I got to see in photos with my dad. But really growing up in Ottawa, J.C. Watts, that was the guy that I wanted to be. He was my hero growing up. Damon Allen was another one. Marcus Allen's young brother, who, like, I don't think any pro quarterback now is thrown for more yards than him. Those were probably the guys that I wanted to emulate and I wanted to be.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jesse Palmer on the Titan MR Hotline. So Jesse, you're coming out of high school up in Canada. How did even you get involved? How did Steve Spurrier find you? Did y'all contact him? Because I've heard different stories. But what made you fall in love with the University of Florida?
So geographically, I mean, I thought I was going to end up playing in the Big Ten or the ACC or the Big East or somewhere closer to Canada where I was playing football. And of course, back then there was no social media or anything like that. So you really, you know, as a Canadian, it was hard to get recruited. We really had to focus more on kind of word of mouth advertising. And I'd gone to Michigan's camp and I'd gone to Penn State's camp and I'd done pretty well and sort of had generated a little bit of buzz for myself in those areas geographically. And my dad, who was also my head coach, he once said to me, you know, hey, you know, we should just send tapes out to the best passing schools in the States and then just see if they answer, because we have to set a ceiling for what our expectations are. Of course, back then, you know, it was old school. Like, you had to make a VHS tape, you had to dub it. The quality was awful. There was like static and there was like, it was ambient noise. It was awful, the quality of the tape. But at the time, in 1996, of course, the Gators were going to win a national championship. Danny Werfel was on his way to win a Heisman Trophy. They were throwing the football over the yard, and it was like Hilliard and Rito Anthony and Jacquez Green. And that was one of the five schools that we ended up sending tapes to that were throwing the football a lot. And you know, it was amazing because literally weeks later, I got a phone call from Steve Spurrier down in Gainesville, and that's what kind of got the ball rolling.
That's very cool. So I assume, like most guys that are being recruited, the head coach does an in-home visit. Did the head ball coach make a trip to Canada?
There's no way. No, it's like, I think anything below, if it was below 60 Fahrenheit, he wasn't going to come and visit that. There was no chance. So it was during the season, and I'd had a bunch of phone conversations with him, and then I flew down in October for my official visit, and it was homecoming. In 96, they were playing the LSU Tigers, and Florida must have won the game like 60-3 or something. And I think like, and Danny threw like six touchdowns. And I remember sitting in the end zone. It was a day game. My dad and I are there. Never been to a place in an environment like the Swamp, you know, in a home game in the SEC. It was just amazing. And I was essentially, I mean, outside of the weather part, the football part, I mean, I was sold. I was sold almost immediately.
Good stuff. Okay, so you get to the University of Florida. Talk a little bit about your career. Obviously, you were part of the rotating quarterbacks at times, with Doug Johnson and Rex here and there. Talk a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, people ask all the time. You know, I think one of the reasons why it worked and one of the reasons that I sort of enjoyed it was because I never really saw myself as being a streaky quarterback. I didn't feel like I was the type of guy that really had to get into a rhythm. I could sort of go into games and come out. And of course, playing quarterback for Coach Spurrier, you knew that at any point in time in any game, regardless of what the score was, you might come out of the game based on a decision or a throw you make. So we did it all different types of ways. Doug and I rotated every snap against Tennessee in 98. Later that year, we went every series against Kentucky. We went every quarter. Rex and I rotated in all different types of ways, you know, during the 2000 season when we won the SEC championship. So we did it in a lot of different ways. You just always knew, you know, I think that, you know, you go into the game, you're prepared, you're going to play. You don't know how much you're going to play, but you know, like, even if you threw an interception, yeah, you might come out of the game, but the other guy was going to throw an interception at some point too. So you know you were going to get a chance to go back in. So you just always had to be ready at any point in time playing for coach.
So when you got here playing American football, was it difficult for you to adjust not having guys running around in those crazy motions like y'all did in Canada?
Yeah, and I remember I enrolled in the spring of 97. I remember having a practice, and then coach, you know, we ended up going down inside the 5-yard line. We did like a 7-on-7 inside the 5. And like, I felt claustrophobic. I'm down there and there's like nobody moving in the end zone. It's so small, and you got like 22 guys all crammed in this small little area, and coach is calling like fade routes, you know, and I'm throwing the thing like 12 yards out of bounds, and, you know, and Spurrier's just looking at me like, what are you doing? And I remember thinking to myself, this is like, what sport am I playing? This is completely different than what I was doing up in Canada. And I think that, to me, outside of obviously the speed of the game and the quality of the athletes and the quality of the players and my teammates that we had, you know, getting down to the end zone, out in the field, it was fine. Getting down closer to the red zone, I remember thinking to myself, like in scrimmages, like, dude, we got Fred Taylor. Let's just hand the ball off 3 times. Like, you don't need me to make a fool of myself throwing the ball. Let's just turn around and hand it off to 21, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah. So, you know, you wore number 7 here. Was that your number growing up? And was there any, did you feel any pressure having to wear number 7 after what Werfel did?
So I'd worn 7 since I was 8 years old playing, and John Elway was really my favorite player growing up as a kid. So, you know, that was something in the recruiting process that coach and I had talked about, what number we could wear. And he said, look, I'm not going to retire the number. You want to wear 7, you can wear 7. And certainly I had an appreciation for the legacy that Danny had left. But I honestly didn't feel so much pressure that way. I kind of knew I was just going to be my own player. The number had meant a lot to me. I really identified with it. And honestly, fans and teammates and coaches and everybody involved, it never once came up as a potential issue. People were just, were happy to have me wear it. You know, I tried to honor the number, and you know, it was really, I think the family, the Gator family really made me feel comfortable with that throughout that process.
When you look back at your Gator career, is there one game that stands out in your mind the most that you played in?
Probably Tennessee 2000, when we were on the road. It was early in the season. You know, obviously, and you know, I mean, anybody surrounding around the program knows how big that Tennessee game is at the start of the year. It essentially used to be an eliminator for the SEC championship in week 3 of the season. And we had gone up, and it was a really good Tennessee team with a ton of NFL talent, like they always were, coached by Phil Farmer, an excellent coach. We really had a back and forth game, like highly competitive, like they all were. And We won the game on a 2-minute drive, and there was that quote unquote controversial Jabari Gaffney catch in the end zone, which obviously he caught, and everybody knows that. But it was you know, it was this great game. It had a great finish, and there was over 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium, and you could, you know, anytime we went up and played there, hate's a strong word, but the dislike for us in their stadium was almost like palpable. It was like humidity. It was like this, you just feel yourself walking through it. And on that 2-minute drive, I don't know if I've ever been in a louder stadium in my life. And then after Jabbar caught the ball, it was, you could literally hear a pin drop. And it was one of the most remarkable experiences I've ever been lucky enough to be a part of. And it's obviously one I'll never forget.
That was a good one. Jesse, you know, the Florida-Georgia game is a special game. It's the only other game at a neutral site. You had OU Texas there at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
Just talk about, I mean, you cover that game a lot. I just think it's one of the best atmospheres in all of college football.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's very unique, as you said, Shane. I think you're right. I mean, when you can have two teams with tremendous tradition and tremendous history playing in a stadium where it's not a home and home, and, you know, when you're there, you can literally draw a line right down the middle. I always love that about the Florida-Georgia game. It's red and black on one side, and orange and blue on the other side. And, you know, it's two teams, two quality teams. The game means a lot. It's the game day atmosphere for all the fans and what that entails. And that's honestly something I've never had a chance to enjoy. But being on the field for that game obviously was really special as well. And, you know, having covered the game and having called games in the SEC, talking to players from each team and asking them, you know, would you want to keep that game the same, or would you rather do a home and home? Because remember, the unfortunate part of that is that Georgia players will never experience what it's like to play in the Swamp, and vice versa. Gator players will never go to Sanford Stadium. And if a lot of fans out there, if you haven't been to Sanford Stadium, it's pretty awesome. It's amazing. It's a great environment. But, you know, what makes college football so great are the traditions and the uniqueness of playing that game in Jacksonville and having that kind of game day environment. And what the game means to me, I think, is really, really special.
You get drafted by the New York Giants in 2001. Kerry Collins was the main starter. Just talk a little bit about your career with the Giants. How you like that organization?
Fantastic. Sean Payton was my offensive coordinator. Jim Fossil was the head coach. And so I got to play for some great offensive minds. Kerry was tremendous. Jason Garrett was our other quarterback my first 3 years there. Phenomenal organization, tremendous tradition, great fans, and really a dream come true for me. I really grew up a big Chicago Bears fan, which made me like you more, especially considering
I didn't play very well in those games.
I had your football cards. Trust me. I was very well aware. You were outstanding. I'm still jealous. You and Rex Grossman, I'm still jealous of the Gator quarterbacks that got to inevitably play there. But New York was really tremendous. Great experiences, phenomenal teammates. We drafted Eli Manning in my fourth year. Got to play with Kurt Warner there as well in my fourth year. So we always had an amazing quarterback room, but what one of the best organizations in the National Football League, again, in terms of traditions and kind of what they've done. And I was very lucky and changed my life. I mean, I almost got drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs twice. And oftentimes I wonder, you know, what would have happened in my life had I not moved to New York City, mm-hmm. which potentially provided me a lot of the opportunities from a career standpoint and a personal standpoint that I've had now. And I love Kansas City, and it's a great city. But you always, you know, you play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game, and what might have happened had I gone that way instead. I count my blessings every day because I've been here since I played here. I've been here since 2001 in Manhattan. I just love it.
You know, you got 2 degrees from Florida, I believe, neither in journalism. And, right. And you know, that's basically what you do now. And I want to talk a little bit about your career. How did you become so good at what you're doing when you didn't really study it in school?
Yeah, saying I'm good at it is high praise. I mean,
you're excellent.
I manage it. I mean, I get through every day. That's all. I'm just trying to survive every day. You know, my teammate and my roommate Nick Shirelli was studying journalism and communications. And he was working his butt off. Like, I remember coming home back to the apartment after class, and he's putting a tape together and he's editing it and he's doing all this stuff. And at the time I thought to myself, man, it's a lot of work. I'm just going to do marketing and political science. That's actually easier, I think, than doing journalism. So that was the thought process originally. I didn't know I enjoyed doing it until I was playing for the Giants. It was our off-season program, and Charles Way, Giants fans will remember Charles Way, was a running back, and he was sort of in charge of the player personnel and development. The Arena Football League had games in the spring and the summer, and they were looking for someone to do play by or to do color for their arena games on the radio. And Jason Garrett had done it before. And he told me one day in the locker room, he's like, hey, man, if you're not doing anything, you should just try this. It's actually kind of fun. And I went out and did it. It was the New York Dragons and the New Jersey Gladiators. Those were the teams. And I would do it. And it was like, you know, you'd watch film and you'd prepare for it throughout the week, a lot in the same way that we did as players. And it just, the X's and O's and the, you know, sort of the studying and watching film, that stuff I loved. I felt comfortable being on camera. And I remember kind of in the offseason doing that job and thinking to myself, you know what? When I'm done playing, this is totally something that I would like to try to do for my career. And I was lucky, you know, afterwards to kind of follow it along. And it really kind of helped kind of spark the interest and led me to my career on TV.
I got to ask this for our female audience. You know, you're the first professional athlete to be involved with The Bachelor. Talk a little bit about that experience. And do you think that helped you kickstart your career?
Glad you brought that up. I was the first athlete ever to be on reality TV. So I do want to take this opportunity to say, for anybody who's on television right now that was once playing sports in their life, you're welcome. Michael Strahan, you're welcome, personally, from me. It was amazing. You know, it was crazy. It was a wild experience. I wish I could sit here and tell you I knew what I was doing. And I totally knew that that was going to help me later on in my career, because it absolutely has. I think football at ESPN and those opportunities with NFL on Fox and then ESPN, I think I was going to have that after I was done playing. Football has always been my wheelhouse, and it always will be. But there, I'd be foolish to say that my opportunities at Good Morning America, on the Food Network, Daily Mail TV, the Disney holiday specials, anything else that I've done in my career didn't have at least a little bit to do with my time on The Bachelor. So at the time, I was just doing it because I was 24 years old and I thought it was a really neat experience and it sounded fun. But no doubt, it was one of the best things I ever did for my career. There is no doubt about it, because it did put me in front of a different audience.
Yeah, we're speaking with Jesse Palmer, the Titan More Hotline. A few more minutes with Jesse. So let everybody know, I mean, you're a busy person. I mean, like you said, you're sometimes on Good Morning America. You got your Daily Mail TV show. Right now, there's not a whole lot of college football going on, but kind of give me the rundown of your schedule on a daily basis.
So it gets really busy. Obviously, the fall is the busiest time with college football. So, you know, a typical week, honestly, looks like, you know, wake up Monday morning, prepare and read the articles for Daily Mail TV, head to studio. You're in studio from 9 to 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, come, you know, get to the gym. 3 o'clock, you're watching film, prepping college football for the upcoming week's games till 7. Repeat that Tuesday, repeat it Wednesday. Thursday, go to studio for Daily Mail TV at 2 o'clock, get in the car, drive to Bristol. And then you're in studio at night in Bristol for the primetime game Thursday night, 11 p.m. drive back to the city. It's about 2 hours away. Repeat it again Friday, Daily Mail in the morning, ESPN at night. Stay overnight. Saturday, obviously, is game day. So we're on air from noon until about 3 a.m. doing the college football final show. You get 3 hours sleep. You get back in the car Sunday, drive back to New York, and then you just repeat. And it goes on a cycle of 15 weeks. And then you start adding in the Who's In show when the college football playoff rankings start coming out. That's Tuesday nights, and that starts in mid-October. So, I mean, it's a zoo, but it's like anything else, Shane. It's like, you know, too, it's like the quarterback mentality, just play the next play.
Right.
And that's kind of what I try to do with the schedule. If you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year, I would drive myself insane. So you just try to go every day one at a time. What do I have to do? What am I doing?
But yeah, the good thing is, an athlete, your whole life has been a schedule. So
right,
you have probably had to adjust very much. So do you enjoy being in the studio more, or did you like doing the color on the telecast?
Yeah, I fight with it back and forth. I love being in studio because I feel like you get to touch on a lot of more different topics and a lot of the games and the storylines and the players of what's happening around the country. But you sort of treetop that. You can't really get into it too long. You're just kind of moving. But then I miss the games because I miss the energy of being there in the stadium, and I miss kind of really honing in on one game for 3.5 hours and the prep and the study and kind of breaking it down and watching the X's and O's of everything. So I love both. I mean, I've done both. I've been lucky enough at ESPN in 14 years to do just studio, to do just games. There was 3 years with Brent Musburger where I was calling 2 games a week. And that was a crazy schedule. And then there's been, you know, these last couple of years now, I've just been in studio 4 days a week. So I love each of them for different reasons. And I hope, as you know, if I'm lucky enough to keep being able to do this, I hope I get the opportunities to continue to do both.
Last thing for you, your thoughts. Are we going to start college football on time this year? And I want to get your thoughts on Dan Mullen, what he's done in the 2 years that he's been here with the schedule that the Gators have. I think they should be in the talk of the 14 playoff.
Yeah. You know, so first off, I'm extremely hopeful. I do think we're going to get it started. I think schools are going to take the precautions necessary. It's going to be costly. It's obviously very, very complicated. But I in my heart of hearts, I think football is going to start on time. Now, I don't know if there's going to be any fans in the crowd, in the stands, especially at the beginning. but I do think the season's going to start on time. And secondly, I think Dan's done a phenomenal job in terms of how he's recruited, where he's bringing the team back. The expectation level, I think, is I feel like we're getting back to where we used to be, sort of in the 90s when you played, in the late 90s through the Urban Meyer era, where I think fans now legitimately, I mean, fans in Gainesville always think we're going to win the national championship every year, but I think those expectations are becoming more and more realistic. And I agree with it. I think with the talent we have, a quarterback like Kyle Trask and his abilities and the schedule, I think most importantly, and I think that's one thing that fans and everyone has to look at the start of every year, especially in the SEC, with considering crossover opponents and traditional rivals and how daunting that is. I do think the Gators do have an opportunity to be one of those teams playing in the 14 playoff.
And the last thing, I ask all the people that play for the HBC, give us a quick little story, because everybody loves the head ball coach stories.
Yeah. So one of the all-time great Steve Spurrier stories, and I don't know how many people know this, back in 1999, when Doug and I were rotating, we were in a practice. It was kind of a wet, soggy day, and just weren't executing the offense in practice the way the HBC had wanted. So literally in the middle of the practice, coach just decided that he was going to take over at quarterback and just show us how to do it, how the offense has to be run, the tempo and the mechanics. And you guys just aren't not completing any passes. You don't get it. So he comes in the game. Doug and I were impressed. He grabbed a helmet, put a helmet on, and he went into the huddle, and we were up against our scout team defense, obviously. And so Spurrier goes out, and we're running up tempo, and we're going, and we're in bandit right, and just running blue slide everything, and guys are getting out. And to coach's credit, he was smart. Like, he knew, just let me get a couple easy completions early, and I'll get this thing going, and it'll help prove my point. So threw a couple screens, threw a Texas, a swing pass to a running back. He was just keeping it really safe and easy. And then he went blue slide steamers, which, of course, you know, the quarterbacks, yes. So we got all verticals. We got guys running downfield. And this is really going to be the one where Spurrier is going to kind of show us. And our defense played kind of this big cover two. And we had this, we had a freshman linebacker. His name was James Ferrier. That's Matt Ferrier's little brother. Matt was a great linebacker for the Steelers. James didn't get the memo that you don't pick off.
Oh boy,
coach. And Spurrier dropped back, and we had a receiver running that cover two post down the middle of the field. Coach, he threw it down there. Didn't come out great. It was kind of fluttering. And Matt, or James high pointed the ball. He like got back into like a Tampa two, picked it off. And then there was a convoy, and the defense scored a pick six. And the place was going nuts. Like, everyone on our team couldn't believe it. And coach kind of slowly kind of walked past us towards Doug and I. And we were just both looking at him like, what's he going to say now? And he just looked at us, and remember, I told you it was wet a little bit. So the ball was a bit, you know, a bit slick. And he kind of walked over, and he was mumbling to himself. And he was like, I just, you know, sometimes slipsies. And he just jogged off, and we went on to our next period. And that was it. That's one of the all-time great Steve Spurrier stories that I remember during my time in Gainesville.
That's awesome. Well, Jesse, we appreciate you taking the time to join our show today. Good luck to you this year. Stay safe up there in New York, my man, and we're anxious to see you talking some college football soon.
I really appreciate it, Shane. Thanks so much for having me on, man. Stay safe.
Absolutely. That's Jesse Palmer joining us on the Titan MR Hotline.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility.
Meldon Law, won't back down.
Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise.
QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free.
South State Bank,
Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage.
Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, Meadowbrook Golf Course,
Silverback Concrete Company. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.